Good evening and welcome to Freedom Club USA and our Prosperity Call of February 6th of 2013. We have a wonderful guest speaker lined up for this call this evening. My name is Joanne, and with us we have our founder, Tom. And I would like to give the introduction. Tom, do you have anything to throw up first?
Go right ahead. Okay. Let's get it rolling.
Thank you so much. All right, we have Sheriff Mack. We are honored to have him here with us this evening. And Sheriff Richard Mack is a man who many know as a man of integrity and a person who's dedicated to God, his family, and our country. He's outspoken, he's principled, and an honest person with a refreshing, straightforward style, and boy, do we love that. He is a no-sunshine patriot, rather a bold and tireless crusader and defender of the Bill of Rights and individual and state sovereignty. As the first sheriff to sue the federal government for its overreach with the Brady Bill, we all remember that, he won the most precedent-setting states' rights case in history of our country. Had he not made this challenge, the Brady Bill's full implementation would have culminated in elimination of our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. Most recently, he has founded the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, whose mission is to serve and support sheriffs while they fulfill their oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. He shows us how, in this most effective solution for halting the federal government's invasion into our communities and into each and every one of our daily lives. Sheriff Mack is the only person in American history to receive the highest honors for public officials from the Second Amendment Foundation, Gun Owners of America, and the NRA combined. Numerous Tea Party groups have named him America's Sheriff, and most recently he was named one of the top 10 conservatives running for Congress in the Texas 2012 primary election. He's been a regular guest on Judge Napolitano's Freedom Watch, and he's been interviewed on CNN, he's been on Nightline, Good Morning America, and he's been on a guest on over 500 radio talk shows throughout the United States and worldwide. And we honor and welcome you, Sheriff Mack.
Wow. Thank you for that, Japan, and thank you so much for having me tonight. Do we have any idea what size of a crowd we have?
We have hundreds with us this evening, Sheriff. Hundreds of members, and we're ready to roll and soak up everything you have to tell us.
Well, I apologize. I'm just getting over the flu, and I still have a lingering cough, so if you hear me coughing a little bit here and there, please forgive me for that. I am feeling a lot better, and I'm getting my energy back, but still got this little cough with me. So as Joanne mentioned, I've been in this battle for a long time. My whole crusade has been to do one thing, and one thing only, and that is to restore the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, that we would once again as a nation respect the Bill of Rights as our founders intended. And I have seen no hope whatsoever from Washington, D.C., where any of us could take comfort that we will once again have leaders in Washington that will fight and defend the principles of liberty upon which this great country was founded. When I was a peace officer in Utah, I started studying the Constitution because I had a real epiphany occur. And once I started studying the Constitution, I realized that there was no similarity between what government does and what the Constitution says. And I hope that that's not a big shock to any of you. If anybody has studied anything about the foundation of America and the Constitution, you will come to the same conclusion. It's just impossible to come up with anything else. The conclusion is thus inescapable. So, with that as a backdrop, I continued on as a peace officer for a number of years while I was studying the Constitution, and then I decided to move home to Arizona and run for sheriff. And so I could run my own department according to the Constitution and the oath of office. And I did. And I had several confrontations with the federal government. And I can honestly say that I came out on top on each one of them. And then, as Joanne mentioned, I was the first sheriff in American history to sue the federal government. And in this particular case, it was the Clinton administration. In 1994, I sued the federal government, and I was all alone. I had no backing from any other sheriff, and had no national group behind me. I will say, after I decided to do the lawsuit, I, by happen chance, just called the National Rifle Association and asked them for advice, and the shock of that was that they said they had already been preparing the paperwork on this case and were praying that I would call. And so they got behind this financially and helped pay for the case and provided lawyers. And then I also told them that I wanted my own lawyer on this because I did not want this to become the NRA lawsuit, that it needed to remain in my charge. So I hope I didn't offend them and get them discouraged about working with me. But at the time, I was the only sheriff in the country, so I guess that's why they decided to work with me no matter what conditions I put upon the whole case. And they recommended, I asked him, can you recommend a lawyer to me out in Arizona that knows and understands the Constitution and the Second Amendment? And he said Dave Hardy in Tucson, and I hired Hardy as my personal lawyer. And on February 28, 1994, the very day the Brady Bill took effect, my lawyers with the NRA lawyers filed in federal district court in Tucson, Arizona, MAC versus U.S. And coincidentally, this case takes the most amazing twists and turns all the way through it. This one in particular, I didn't know was going to be a twist until just 2 years ago. But the judge who first heard my case was named Judge John M. Roll. And he was murdered at the assassination attempt of Congresswoman Giffords 2 years ago, this January 8th. And he was one of the most remarkable judges in American history. If it hadn't been for him, we would have never made it through. And he was just a very principled constitutional judge. He actually ruled in our favor so strongly, pointing his finger at the federal government, telling Congress, his own boss, that they had exceeded their authority and that Mack was thus forced to choose between keeping his oath or obeying the law. And I think that is something that now I have taken that principle that he summarized in one sentence the motivation I had for suing the federal government. They were literally forcing me to violate my oath. When have any of you ever heard a federal judge talk about the and reference specifically the oath of office that we as sheriffs swear to before we can take our positions? And I was so amazed by the insight and the constitutional sensitivity this man showed. And he left us way too soon. I was heartbroken when he was killed. It was a shattering effect on America, and this man was truly a patriot and a principled judge. He sided with me every time the Janet Reno Justice Department tried to pull shenanigans to get me out of the case and remove me for standing. Whatever they tried to throw at us, Judge Roll sided with me. And even granted us, me, an injunction against the federal government. That's like an order of protection. I had an order from the court that they could not bother me, they could not arrest me while we're in court. Because the Brady Bill was the first time in American history that Congress promulgated legislation signed by the president that threatened to arrest the sheriff if we failed to comply with their gun control scheme. So, yes, they were literally trying to force us as sheriffs across this country to participate in their federal gun control scheme. It literally threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply. Now, the good news about all this is that six other sheriffs joined the lawsuit after I filed, the second being Jay Prince from Montana, and then one from Texas, one from Louisiana, one from Mississippi, one from Vermont, and one from Wyoming. That was it, seven out of 3,100 sheriffs. And that still amazes me that only seven did it. So the good news was six others joined. The bad news is only six others joined. I will say, by way of history on the case, all of us won at the district court level except Sheriff Coog from Texas. Now, you might ask yourself, how does a sheriff lose a Second Amendment gun rights case that's based on the 10th Amendment, states' rights? We filed on the 10th Amendment. And, of course, the issue was gun control. The Brady Bill amended the Gun Control Act of 1968. And so then the federal government appealed to the circuit courts, and we lost. Sheriff Prince and I are located in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is San Francisco. It's the most liberal, most overturned court in America. We lost there in a 2-1 split. But Sheriff Coog and Sheriff Romero from Louisiana, Sheriff Coog being from Texas, they won at the Fifth Circuit Court in New Orleans. And so that provided almost a guarantee that we would go to the Supreme Court. And sure enough, December of 4th, 1996, Sheriff Prince and I appeared at the United States Supreme Court together in the Mack Prince case. And on June 27, 1997, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 split decision, agreed with us. This stopped Brady Bills 2, 3, 4, and 5. Brady Bill 2 was introduced by Howard Metzenbaum 2 weeks after we filed. It never made it out of committee. This Brady Bill movement was killed by a couple of small-town sheriffs who had the courage to take a case to the Supreme Court and tell the federal government to get lost. I will tell you all right now, though, even as monumental and miraculous as all this was, I would never recommend that any sheriff sue again. If I were sheriff, I would never sue again. You simply do not ask permission from federal courts as to whether or not you can keep your oath of office. If we had lost, I could have made it worse for everybody and diminished the power and role of the sheriff to simply tell the federal government, no, you're not doing that in my county. Now, miraculously, we have the solution appearing before us every day. If all of you will go to our website at CSPOA, that stands for Constitutional Sheriffs Peace Officers Association, CSPOA P-O-A. The phonetic alphabet is Charlie, Sierra, Paul, Oscar, Adam. So CSPOA.org, you will see a list of about 300 sheriffs, and they are saying, this is the line in the sand. You will not cross it. We will not have any more gun control in our counties. My dear friends, this is the solution I've been fighting for, praying for, writing about, exhorting the country about, training sheriffs to do this. And I've been talking about this probably since 1994 when I first filed the lawsuit, wrote about the importance of keeping our oath of office as sheriffs and as peace officers in my first book. I wrote a book called From My Cold Dead Fingers, Why America Needs Guns. And I did that in 1994, the very year I filed the lawsuit. And then 4 years ago this very month, I released a book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. Every one of you should have that book. It's only 50 pages long. You can get three of them for like $20. And those are available at sheriffmack.com. Sheriffmack.com. I think you can also get them at CSPOA.org. But the significance of that book started this entire movement of the constitutional sheriff. And 2.5, 3 years ago, we formed a group called the CSPOA so that we could emphasize the importance of having a constitutional sheriff, a sheriff in your county who will interpose himself on your behalf to make sure that you are not being victimized by tyrants, to make sure that you are not victimized by the federal government. You have got to have a sheriff who knows and understands his oath of office and his duty to protect you from all criminals, both foreign and domestic. Nothing gives me greater sadness and anguish than to tell all of you this, and I'm positive that most of you know this, but let's just be real clear here. The greatest threat to our God-given constitutional American liberty is our own federal government. I would add that their work with the United Nations is part of that. But our own federal government, with its Federal Reserve and deficit spending and its ruthless Gestapo-like IRS and the EPA and FDA and many other bureaucracies of Washington, D.C., now literally have replaced our Constitution with their own political correctness. They have replaced our Constitution with bureaucratic regulations and policies to the extent that they actually want us all to pretend and believe that somehow their bureaucratic regulations supersede the Bill of Rights and are superior to the unalienable rights as expressed in the Declaration of Independence that talk about the pursuit of happiness. They now believe their bureaucratic policies are superior to all of that. We were blessed by God with the right to pursue happiness as we see fit. And life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness, are things that government is supposed to protect, but yet they are the great destroyers of all three. And if we are to take America back, it will happen, county by county, sheriff by sheriff. And we are seeing now a movement that is now gaining such momentum that I could not be more thrilled with the sheriffs who are now standing. Every day we get more calls. We got calls today from more sheriffs. We get calls from sheriffs every day who said, please add me to your list. I will stand. We've had now the Wyoming Sheriffs and Chiefs of Police Association state in a letter that they will fiercely, that's the word their statement uses, their press release uses the word, we will fiercely defend the Second Amendment, the U.S. Constitution, and the Constitution of Wyoming. And the sheriffs of Utah, 28 out of 29 sheriffs of Utah, said they will not tolerate any more gun control from the federal government. And we've had sheriffs make very strong, similar statements. And this all started just about 4 weeks ago. And Sheriff Pyman from Kentucky was the first one, and he called a press conference, and it went viral. I gave him a call, and I sent him my books. And now he and I have become very good friends. And then a Sheriff Mueller from Oregon did the same thing. And I called Sheriff Mueller, and he said something very touching to me. He said, "Sheriff Mack, the reason this was able to take place is because you paved the way." And I said, "No." I said, "The courage that you and the other sheriffs are showing, I had nothing to do with." And he was very gracious. And folks, regardless of how this came about, and I give a lot of the credit to the good Lord who inspired me to write this book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. I was working for a car dealership in Arizona 4 years ago. When the economy collapsed, I had nothing to do. I was there working for a friend, and I had been teaching school, and I was just kind of going to retire and be there to help my mom, who passed away a couple of years ago. I just wanted to be closer to her. And while I was there, I had such time on my hands that I decided to write this book. And the title just came to me. I just saw the title kind of flash across my vision screen. And so I had time to write it, and I wrote it on the computer at my desk at Johnson Motors in Safford, Arizona. And then after the book was finished, out of the blue, Alex Jones called me and said, "Hey, Sheriff, what have you been up to?" And I said, "I just finished a new book." And he got me on a show. And then Joyce Riley called me about the same day. And she says, "Hey, Sheriff, what have you been up to?" And I said, "I just finished this new book." And then the demand for the book just skyrocketed, and people started saying, we want you to come and speak at our association and our tea party. And I told everybody there is hope, and there is a way to stop the tyranny of Washington, D.C., and we can stop the NDAA, and we can stop the enforcement of the Patriot Act. We can stop the ridiculous ruthlessness of the IRS and IRS seizures and the capricious seizures of property and bank accounts and homes and cars by the IRS. And there is a way to restore peace and liberty in our Constitution, and it's with a good, honest, constitutional sheriff. And then sheriffs started coming to these events that people were having all across the country. And then the Tea Party group up in Amarillo asked their sheriff to invite all the sheriffs in the panhandle of Texas. And 25 sheriffs came to hear my presentation, and we spent 3.5 hours together talking about my Supreme Court victory and the Constitution and the theory and doctrine of interposition and our responsibility to keep our oath of office to our citizens and to protect their God-given rights and to put our jobs on the line if necessary to protect them and to defend their God-given liberties. And then we had a convention a year ago on January 31st of 2012, and we had 100 sheriffs show up from all across the country, and miraculously we were able to raise $115,000 in a couple of months so that we could pay for the airfare and hotel for all the sheriffs to get there. And I still don't know how all that happened, but we managed to organize that entire convention and raised $115,000 all within a 2.5 month period. Absolutely miraculous. And then we had another convention on Constitution Day, September 17th of this past fall. And again, it was just an absolute miracle. And people that were in attendance said, "I can feel the founding fathers in this room." And we had about 65 sheriffs, and we had about 14 sheriffs speak. And these are all sheriffs who are talking about what they're doing in their counties to stand true for America and stand true to their oath of office. And now we have over 300 that have actually done this. They're being counted. They're standing for what's right. They are drawing a line in the sand. And we have a DVD set that says Last Line of Defense. And it's a 6-DVD set that's on our website that I highly recommend each of you watch. And it is the highlights of our of our convention in Las Vegas just 4 months ago. And you can see for yourself the miracle that this was. And after the first day, the whole thing lasted a day and a half. After the first day, we had a banquet that night. We'd spent over 10 hours in classes about the Constitution and about the Founding Fathers. And one of the specific subjects was drones. Another one was the defense of the Second Amendment. And boy, aren't we seeing that happen big time, those two issues come to light today. And now that we have a tyrannical tyrant despot in the White House who says that he will use drones against American citizens without probable cause and without evidence, he'll just attack them at will, we're seeing now how prophetic the subject matter was from our convention this past September. And at the end of the first day, we were having the banquet. Sheriff Sam Page, a real big guy, about 6'8", came up to me and he said, "Sheriff Mack, I got to tell you, I learned more about the Constitution and the Oath of Office in one day in your seminar than I have the last 15 years as sheriff." This is the type of thing, this is the type of response we were getting from sheriffs. This was his first initial visit with us. He had his local citizens pay his way to be there. And many, many Tea Party groups and groups just got together and made sure their sheriff got there. So we trained county commissioners and deputies and peace officers and sheriffs and chiefs of police and city councilmen and some state reps in the significance of states' rights and in the oath of office and standing for God-given American liberty. And now we're seeing the fruits of our labor. I am so thrilled to announce to each of you that we are now witnessing a very historical time. This has never happened before in American history, where the sheriffs are independently and unitedly standing against the incursions of the federal government. There's 3,100 sheriffs in this country. If we get 600, 700, 800, maybe a third or fourth to stand with us, there will be no stopping it. What's more important about this particular solution is that it will be guaranteed effective if the sheriffs continue to stand and show courage in standing for their oath of office and American ideals. More importantly, perhaps, it will guarantee that it will remain peaceful. We will not have to be called to arms to finally get the federal government off our backs. We will not have to risk our lives for this holy cause of liberty, as Patrick Henry called it. We will have sheriffs interposing on our behalf and stopping the tyrants at the county line. They can stop martial law. They can stop the tyranny that's being talked about every day in the news. We find out something else that Barack Obama is doing that is so analogous to Nazi Germany. We now have hope for America. We now have hope in our communities. This is what the Founding Fathers meant. Thomas Jefferson said the top executive of the county is the sheriff. The sheriff goes over about over 1,000 years of history. He was the first cop in America. He preceded the Constitution. The first sheriff of Delaware started in 1650. And now we have sheriffs doing the same thing that they've always been assigned to do, and that is be the ultimate protector of the people, to protect life, liberty, and property, to keep the peace. They are the conservators of the peace. And when we start having this debate and we realize that sheriffs are interjecting themselves into this great debate for liberty and for each one of us individually, doesn't it just make you feel like there's hope? Isn't it great to know that you have someone in your county that will stand up for the little guy, that will stand for the Constitution, that will enforce the Bill of Rights? We're going to train every sheriff, and we're trying to now take this county to county by county, take it at least to every state, and invite the sheriffs to our training and just keep going across and just take this on the road and go to every state and every sheriff association and let them know the truth about their jobs and their responsibility to the Constitution and why the Founding Fathers required that they swear allegiance to the Constitution and that we literally put God-given rights above political correctness and bureaucracies. And I know this is working, and I know it can work, but we still have a lot of work to do, and we desperately need funding. The only way we've been able to do any of this that we've been doing is from grassroots donations. And I've got speaking engagements now in Ohio and Minnesota and Michigan, and I'm on Glenn Beck on his show on February 19th, and I've already been interviewed by USA Today. This story was on the front page of USA Today about 5 or 6 days ago. I've got interviewed from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Wall Street Journal, and I'm just showing you, and I'm telling you that not to talk about me at all. I'm just telling you, this is taking flight. I want each of you to know this is getting wings like of angels. And it's just so touching and gratifying to hear from these sheriffs. And they call, I want to be on your list. It sounds like Paul Revere calling me. I want to be on your list. I want to be part of this movement for freedom. And folks, it is working. This is the solution. I'm asking each of you to join us in this holy cause. Be part of the solution now. I need your help. I don't have money. I don't have a retirement. I just do this. I dedicated myself 4 years ago to do this full time. I quit my job, and I just said, I'm going to trust the Lord that I'll be able to take care of my family and pay our bills and do this full time. Literally, I spend 12 to 15 hours on this every day. After I get off of this call, I have another conference call with a Oath Keepers group all across the country. And tomorrow I start, and first thing in the morning, and a former sheriff here in Texas and I are going to meet with the president of the Texas Sheriff's Association. There's 254 sheriffs in Texas, and if we can get these guys going, my dear friends, we will take America back. So we've had the impediments. We've had people try to get in the way, and we're just not going to allow it. The good Lord has blessed us. He's with us on this. And why do we know that he's with us? Because this is his work. He's the one that blessed us with this freedom. And John Quincy Adams said over 200 years ago, when people asked him, can we really win this battle for freedom? And he said, duty is ours, results are God's. I would say the same today, paraphrasing somewhat. Let's just do our duty and leave the rest to him. It's working. It's real. This is not a dream, even though it is a dream come true. This is something that's happening right now in front of our eyes. And as Patrick Henry said, for those of us who have ears to hear with and eyes to see with, let's take advantage of that and become part of the solution. stand with me now as we stand for God-given American liberty. I am so thrilled to be part of this, so thrilled that it's working, so thrilled that we have the evidence right in front of us now that we can all bank on. And if any of you, the sooner that we could get your help on any of this, especially financially, the sooner we're going to take this on the road. And, you know, it really, you know, and I apologize for that part, but the Founding Fathers knew that we must pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to this holy cause. They did. I do now to each of you, and I ask you to do the same. And it's just that simple. Freedom today is just as important as it was in 1776, perhaps even more so. We are the generation who will decide whether or not we're going to succumb to the tyrannical socialism of our Washington, D.C. tyrants, or are we going to continue as the Constitutional Republic our founders intended us to have. And with that, I'll take any questions. Again, right after the top of the hour, I've got to get to another call.
Wow. Well, thank you, Sheriff Mack. This is Tom, and Joanne is with us here as well. We already have some hands in the queue. Since we have Sheriff Mack in the same queue, Joanne, we'll have to do them manually.
Yes,
on our questions,
I see.
If you'd be so kind to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question, Sheriff Mack. We're so passionate about a lot of the things that you're discussing. Might it be a good idea to buy your DVD set and send it forward to our own sheriffs in the places we live throughout the United States?
Yes. Each of you needs to look at it, and each of you needs to get one for your sheriff. If he will spend any time on that at all, it will be a blessing to us all.
Okay. And Tom, do you have any questions?
To acquire the book and the DVDs just mentioned, that would be from the SheriffMack.com site?
Yes, you can get them there, or you can just go to CSPOA.org. So either one, yes, you can get them there.
Either one. Okay, we're going to be posting those after we record the call. We post this on our site. Many, many thousands who are affected tonight will be able to view, listen to this call, and we'll post those two email addresses. Is there any other postings you'd like us to include? Any other websites or email or
anything? No, that ought to. Those two, that ought to do it.
That'll do it. All right. Great. Let's,
okay.
Let's get to our questions.
And our first caller, and you're a little heavy breathing on the line. Your first name. 4652. Yes, you're up, sir.
If this is supposed to help you, I'm a diabetic. I had a stroke 4 years ago.
Okay. Sir, I understand. I'm going to take your number, and we'll give you a call back, and I understand you're looking for help, and we're going to address questions to our guest speaker, so allow us to call you back. Just stay where you are. Thank you.
And please, anybody who has star one, have their hands up now. These will be specific questions for Sheriff Mack. We will have other topics we'll address following his leave here tonight. So only Sheriff Mack questions, please. All right, who's with us?
Your first name, 0936. You're up.
Yes, this is April, and Sheriff Mack, I just want to tell you what an honor it is to have listened and be speaking with a modern-day patriot. And I just want to thank you and your organization for my freedom. I make a habit of doing that, you know, with our military, but I want to do that with you as well. And I want to thank Joanne and Tom for making it possible. And I definitely am going to get involved in this. And I know your last name is Mack, and you spell that M-A-C-K. Is that correct?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, and that is CSPOA.com for Constitution Sheriff.
Dot org.
I'm sorry, dot org. Okay. Well, thanks again.
It's a little confusing because it's sheriffmack.com, but it's CSPOA.org.
Okay, which is Constitution Sheriff Peace Officers Association.
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, thanks again, and God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we thank Diane, our lead ambassador, for bringing Sheriff Mack to us. Hi, your first name, please.
Hi. Is it for me?
Yes.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, Tom. This is Asita. Sheriff Mack, thank you so much for what you're doing. I've known about you for several years, and I do know that our particular sheriff in our county is a part of your group. And I just wanted to say that we honor you, we support you, and God bless you in your work. And as soon as we have some ability to assist with funding, I'm sure that's something that the club will be able to do for you. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Asita. Hi, your first name, please. 3395, you're up.
Hi, good evening, and thank you, Sheriff Mack, for coming on this call. I'm very happy about all the work that you're doing. The question that I have is, I'm in Connecticut, and there are no sheriffs here.
Ooh, horrible, horrible, horrible state.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. And the reason being is they got rid of sheriffs about 12 years ago. It's the only state to ever vote the office of sheriff out.
Wow. Because I spoke to two of the sheriffs here, and they know some of the stuff they're doing is wrong, but no one wants to speak up.
Well, there are no sheriffs in Connecticut. If you spoke to somebody that's a sheriff, you either spoke to somebody from a different state, or you spoke to actually state police officers.
No, they were demoted. They're marshals now, but they used to be sheriffs.
Oh, you're right. You're right. They used to be sheriffs, and they became state marshals. You're correct.
Right. So is there anything that I can do here, or should I move, which is what I want to do anyway?
Well, those are two distinct possibilities. I do recommend to people. People in California said, what can we do for freedom here? And I said, move. But Northern California has some good, strong constitutional sheriffs. We had many of them speak at our convention. So the Northern California, there's still hope. And we've had about 10 or 12 sheriffs from California stand with us against any more gun control. But Connecticut, the only other possibility would be to start a petition drive there to get it on the ballot to get sheriffs reinstituted. That's going to take some work. But I would like to see it happen. We need to get sheriffs back in that state.
I gotcha. So do you think that the current marshals that used to be sheriffs, is there any huge repercussions for them if they would start speaking up or not?
No, I would say don't trust those guys because they didn't fight to stay in office, and they saw the big marshal job and took it. They went for the money. I wouldn't trust any of them very much. They could have stood and fought it, and they did not.
I gotcha. All right, I appreciate that information. Thank you so much, and my prayers are with you all.
Thank you so much.
Hi, your first name, please.
Joanne?
Yes.
Hello, I'm from Canada, and thank you, Sheriff Mack, for all of your information and all of your hard work. My question is, does this apply to the Canadian people? I have seen a few sheriffs floating around here and there in Alberta.
Well, I would like to see it. Canada has a very strict gun control, and I would certainly like to see local officials do this. I'm not sure of the oath of office that they take or if they even take one in Canada. But I would like to see the law enforcement community in Canada take the bull by the horn and let the government know, look, we're not going to disarm people anymore, and we're not going to participate with this. So, man, I would love to see this bleed over to Canada. They might have a little bit more difficult time because of the lack of oath of office and the lack of a law that says the rights of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But they still have it within their power to make a strong stand for this, and boy, that would be great if we could get it to happen there.
Would I be able to contact you by email, and you could give me some pointers on how to get the ball rolling up here for us?
Sure, sure. SheriffMack@hotmail.com.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheriff Mack. I will be in touch with you.
Thank you so much. And your first name, please. 3463, you're up.
Hello.
Hello. Your question for Sheriff Mack.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi there.
Mark.
Mark.
I wanted to say thank you for everything you've been doing. We've been trying to get our sheriff, I'm in Northern California, and Sheriff Bonner, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but last Sunday sent out a notice that said he's going to follow the Constitution because that was the oath he swore, and he has every time he's renewed his office. And I wondered if he was working with your organization. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, I believe he is on our list. You can verify that at CSPOA.org and let everybody know. But I haven't memorized all of them, but that name sounds very familiar.
Great. Again, thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you, too.
Hi, your first name, please. 4997, you're up. Hello? We can't hear you. Okay, we're moving on. Sheriff Simon Kite this evening. Hi there, your first name.
Hello?
Yes, you're up. The question is Sheriff Mary, please.
Yes,
hi.
I'm from Western New York. What are your thoughts on the new gun laws here in New York State with seven-shot clips?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you guys are in trouble there. Our governor here, when he invited all of you to move to Texas, was probably a pretty good idea. I will tell you, I love the state of New York. I love New York City. I think it's one of the most amazing places to visit on the face of the planet. I love Broadway. That's something my family and I have always liked. I inherited that from my mother and my father. Both were thespians and drama majors. And I've always enjoyed that sort of thing, and I've taken my family to New York. But I'll tell you what, Bloomberg and Cuomo are making it very difficult for me to continue that. But New York State, the rest of the state, upper state New York, is beautiful. There's lots of farmlands and rolling hills, and it is a great state. And it's really sad to see socialists and tyrants change that state, which was part of our foundation with the 13 original colonies. And it's sad to see Boston and New York City and Philadelphia fall to socialism the way they have been. That's a disaster, and it's just going to keep getting worse unless we get some sheriffs in New York to stand. I will say that we got a pretty good sheriff there by the name of Sheriff DeMarco. He's right outside. I can't remember the name of the county, Suffolk County or something like that. He's pretty good.
New York.
It's near New York City. He's a pretty good guy, but he's a little bit reluctant right now to be the only one to come forward. And we're still trying to encourage him and stand behind him and stand with him. But he did attend both conventions last year. And so I know he wants to do the right thing, but he's kind of having a hard time being the only one in New York that's really got the courage to do it. So, yeah, you definitely got problems in New York. But I hope we get some good sheriff standing there real soon. And I'd like to come there and give my seminars to a lot of the sheriffs and police departments there. One other thing I would like to say about gun control, this propaganda going around that everybody supports national background checks or universal unilateral background checks. No, we do not. What the federal government is doing is using this propaganda scheme very effectively. But this is what they're telling you and me and the rest of Americans. You cannot exercise your guaranteed rights as detailed within the Second Amendment. You cannot exercise these God-given rights until you first submit and subject yourself to our background check. For the federal government to pretend that they have that authority is absolutely the most tyrannical, unconstitutional thing I've ever seen. They don't have the authority to do it, and if we go along with it, then we're complicit to giving them authority that they're not supposed to have. They would be, they're trying to steal that authority. They don't have it. The only way a background check can be lawful is if it is voluntary. I will submit to a voluntary background check. If the gun shop I go into wants me to do that just between me and them, I will submit. I'll do it between me and the gun shop owner. But I will not submit to these tyrannical background checks that are labeled with, the king says you can't have a gun until you submit. Sorry. That's the worst form of tyranny that could ever be. We do not support background checks.
Okay, thank you, Sheriff Mack. And your question and your first name. 2160, you're up.
Hi, Bonnie?
Yes, your question.
Okay, first and foremost, heartfelt and appreciation for Freedom Club for having this fantastic speaker this evening. Further appreciation for you, Mr. Mack, for your untiring efforts toward our freedom. I have one quick question. What is North Carolina's status in reference to all the work that you are doing in that arena?
North Carolina?
Yes, sir. North Carolina.
We've had some real good calls from sheriffs in North Carolina. Go to our website and you can see the number of North Carolina sheriffs. I just took two calls from sheriffs personally from that great state, and one of the best sheriffs I know is Sheriff Sam Page, and he's from North Carolina, Rumington County, if I believe remember correctly. But Sheriff Norman called and asked to be on the list, and other sheriffs there in North Carolina. And I've been a little bit disappointed in South Carolina. We don't have as many there as we need, but we're getting a good response from Georgia and North Carolina, and hopefully South Carolina will start catching on. Each of you need to contact your sheriff. You have homework to do. Contact your sheriff in your county and tell him that you have looked at that list. And if he's on it, reinforce him, congratulate him for being on there. Tell him you're behind him on the way. If he's not on the list, ask him why he's not. And tell him that you want him on that list. He works for you. That's the unique aspect of county sheriff. He is the only elected law enforcement officer in your county. He reports directly to the people. He does not have any other boss except you. So two things that I need you to do. Contact your sheriff. Make sure that you know if he's on the list or not. You can verify that real quickly at cspoa.org. Just look at the list. And then I don't want any of you to wait to get your big payments or become wealthy. We're not going to wait on this. We're not going to wait. So whatever funding you can do now, I need you to do it as soon as you can. Again, we pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and sacred honor, and just do what you can. But don't wait. We've got to strike while this momentum is hot, and we're not going to wait. I'm not going to wait. And so I hope you don't either.
And the websites, I've reviewed both of them very quickly, have donate buttons that you can have a credit card, debit card, go out there and donate what you can or buy the DVD or the books. So, Sheriff, do you have time for one more question? Okay, your first name, please.
Michael.
And your question.
Yes, Sheriff Mack, I'm coming from the cradle of liberty, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love that you mentioned. And the sheriff in my county is a traveling man, and I was wondering if you also were a traveling man.
If I'm a traveling man?
Yes.
Oh, boy, I travel all over the country. My office is the airport.
Well, no, that's sort of code speak for a certain fraternity. I was wondering if you might also be a member of the fraternity.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so I guess I'm not.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, Sheriff. It's 9:59. We'd like to honor that next call you go to. It's so important for you to spread your information. And we thank you so much for coming to see us tonight and our lead ambassador, Diane H., who brought Sheriff Mack to us.
Well, thank you for having me. And one other thing I would say, if you don't like to do credit cards, I'm not real hip on credit cards myself, but if some of you don't care, you can make that donation or purchase online. If you would like to send a piece of silver or a piece of gold for books or DVDs or donations, we would really prefer having gold or silver, real money. And there's an address on the website, but I can give that to you right now. Just, again, address it to CSPOA. And if you've got your pencils ready, the address is 112. So that's 112 Ridgewood Drive. Ridgewood, R-I-D-G-E-W-O-O-D. So it's one word, 112 Ridgewood Drive. And the town is Fredericksburg, but you can just put FBG as the initial. FBG as the abbreviation, and that's in Texas, and the zip is 78624, 78624. So real quickly again, send whatever you can, gold, silver, whatever, cash, check, money order, whatever you can. It's vital, vital, vital to this at this point. And really, this literally will go as far as your involvement with it will take us. So it's we're all in this together. It's not my organization. It's not my donation. This is the first time that you can really donate to yourself, to your family, and to your country. That's where this is all going. So CSPOA, 112 Ridgewood Drive, Fredericksburg, Texas, 78624. God bless all of you, and thank you so much for having me tonight.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Good night.
Good night. And for the rest of you who are in the queue, if you'd like to press the pound sign, that will lower your hand. And, Tom, do you have any comments?
Well, let's go ahead and clear the board, Joanne, so we can get our first questions here. Some were still up there for Sheriff Mack, but we'll speed this along.
Or press the pound sign.
There we are. Okay, well, well, we heard it from the source. Wow, what a gentleman and a true patriot we have with us here, or had with us here tonight, and is working on your behalf day and night. Indeed, the sheriff is the power in your county, and he can ask the FBI to enter their county must get permission from the sheriff, for example, to do business in that county, and he can tell them no. He can invite them out as well as in. So he has that power, and he doesn't have to ask for it. As he mentioned very interestingly, that having gone through all the court processes, he would not recommend anyone do it again because there's no reason to fight. You already have the right. Just simply stand up and exercise it as the sheriff, and that's what he's teaching. So kudos to Sheriff Mack. How about Joanne? What are your comments?
Well, I'm just bowled over by all of the information and what a tough road he went through with the Brady Bill and trying to help all of us. That was his ultimate goal, to keep our freedoms, because it seems like every corner you turn, there's somebody who's trying to snatch it away from us, whether it's through taxes, whether it's through laws and rules that seem to pop up at all times anymore. And the old laws come back to be more stringent laws. So here's somebody who's in the fight every single day. And he's got a lot of really good ideas about how to keep what we have. Because who was it that said, you know, we have a republic if you're smart enough to keep it? Are we smart enough? And maybe this is the generation that needs to go out there and say, yes, we are smart enough.